Triple M Breakfast. Don't you know Marto, Margo and Dan on the radio.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Hello.
No,
you're
not
welcome.
You two, the people listening. You contractually have to be here. The people listening are the ones who we do it for, especially if they get involved. 0484101045. Text us anytime. Today on the show, we're talking about stupidly obvious warning labels.
Can we just address, Marto's still here. Is your cab meter running out the front? Didn't it cab
beep? I just want to finish. Yeah, I got the cruiser and I thought, all
right. Got to watch the end of the footy.
Footy, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Vicky from Ipswich, we were talking about stupid warnings. She said, I've seen a warning on a pram that says, remove child before collapsing. You know, when you fold the pram up to put it in the boot, you should probably take the child out first.
How big's the kid?
Maybe.
If they get in there.
If they fit in there
then
it goes
convenient.
In the boot, then you don't have to worry about strapping them into the chair because they're strapped into the pram already.
You've got a little briefcase with your kid in it then.
Can I check the two of you? I don't know the answer to this. Three or four wheel pram people?
Oh, I've had both. Three wheelers is great for out and about at the park, running with, jogging with. Four wheels great for the shopping centre.
Righto.
We had the four wheeler only. A couple of them.
Fancy.
It's worked well.
Fancy schmancy, like a bugaboo. You would have been a bugaboo kind of guy.
Name another one, not bugaboo. Another one.
Strider. That's what we had, a Strider Deluxe.
Maybe it is a bugaboo.
Jogger.
I think it may be Bugaboo. I don't know.
Bugaboo was like the fancy $1,500 pram.
Expensive.
We got our second hand.
Of course.
Yeah. Anyone need a cot?
That's stupid.
I've got a cot under my house.
Do you really?
That's creepy.
Someone brought it over the other day and we must have lent it to them years ago and they were clearing the house out and gave it back.
Is Sumner near you?
No.
Oh, I was going to say there's a great warehouse facility out there called Baby Give Back, and any secondhand baby items you can donate to them, and then they clean them up, polish them, make them look beautiful, and gift them to families in need or in distress or displaced from their homes.
Really good.
A lot of domestic violence victims who flee and they don't have anything.
Hey, listen, just with prams.
Yes.
Dobbo with the twin one.
Yeah, you can get a twin bugaboo. That's the one he would have got.
I don't like the wide ones. That's just being rude. You need to go.
No, double. You can go Top Gun FA-14 style where you've got a pilot, co-pilot in front of each other.
Yep. You can do like 11 different combinations in those two. You can do both forward facing, both rear facing, one forward. Right. You can swap them around.
I'll go down that alley with you.
I had one of them plus
forward facing or back facing. Best for a child. Do you want him to see the world or do you want him to see you?
You start when them off little, forward facing when they're little. Look at you. Switch them around.
At what age?
Because eye contact and engagement and facial recognition is really important for kids. Eye contact.
Until what age?
Six months. We changed it.
Oh, no. It was a bit later for me. About 12
Dan,
12
you'd
months.
Appear to be a wanker who used a papoose.
What's that?
Carry them on your body.
Oh, we had one, but I refused to use it. Duff used to wear it from time to time.
Jeez, you got up and west.
Corey used to wear a Baby Bjorn carrier.
She made me wear it once and took a photo, and then we got in trouble. Someone on Instagram said, they went, hey, something about the baby's too little and they'll suffocate.
Bad for their hips.
Got in trouble straight away.
People whinge about that one. I used to wear the wrap one. It was called a Hug-A-Bub wrap, and it was like a really long piece of fabric, about half a metre wide and about 20 metres long. You used to wrap it around you in all different ways, and
the
baby would sit in it like a little koala. No, because then it didn't really matter what I wore underneath it, and as a breastfeeding mother who was tired, I could just wear that and a breastfeeding bra underneath it. I wore it like a shirt then I could just feed my baby whilst the baby was on me because Wiley fed every hour and a half for like 6 months.
Oh, piggy. Little piggy.
Big feeder.
Hey, on the Costa prams too, you brought up, we dead set were looking at, they were $1,500 mate, so we got one second hand because we didn't want to spend that much. My first car was $1,000. A 1975 Mercedes.
Yeah, I think
when
mine
your
was
pram
about that,
costs more than your car, a blood oath. I've got a push bike that costs more than my car.
It's always good to hand things on. I gave Dobbo River's pram, River's 7 now. I gave him her pram when he had Ella Daisy. He still got it and uses it as a second-hand pram for when they go running, when his wife goes running and stuff. So he still got it. And she's 7 now, so I would have bought that back then.
Wow.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that chat. Well done.
Yeah.
Do you want any more
parenting? How fun.
No, it's not at all.
No, it's overrated.
It is hard work.
I'm speaking to you as an empty nester. That's when life gets fun again.
Yeah.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
I do love that you said once, you know, it's good. It's great as they become older because they become your best friends.
Yeah,
you know,
so
and you
nice.
Can talk and have conversations with them, have a drink.
Yeah.
Well, you've let them go then. It's like your society's issue now. I don't have to parent you so much. You're navigating your own. I'm here for advice, but
should you? Should I ask for their keys back so they don't just come bursting into the house? Because that's the good thing.
Especially
if you
and Kath are walking around in the nude. That's right. You should definitely change the locks, perhaps. Oh,
thanks for all that.
Do you want one more here? Carol from Bethania.
What were we talking about? Stupid warnings.
When my daughter was a child, her clothes had labels on them that said, please remove child before putting in washing machine.
Oh, good one, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
I remove my labels. I just cut them off as soon as I get them, so I'm not reminded of what size they are.
Do they annoy your skin? Kath pointed out to me they rub on the skin, and now I've noticed.
That too.
And I've started cutting the labels off too.
I just cut mine off so I can't see the size anymore.
I drove past a dry cleaning store yesterday said, here we go. It was at Hendra, I think. It said on the near Toombul shopping town. It said that they do skin sensitive dry cleaning. Oh, is there people who don't like
flaky skin or reactive skin?
Jesus.
Because there's so much formaldehyde in our clothes these days when it comes from China and those places.
Yeah.
I put a Bonds onesie on Jagger once at the shopping centre because he chit himself three times. And you know, you only have so many changes of clothes. You expect.
You went and bought a newie.
You expect an outfit change or two at least. So you always pack two extras. Yeah. But
he was 12 at the time.
He went three times and he did the big old poo explosion up the back. Went and bought like one of those little wonder suit things, put it on him, and he broke out in full rash, took him to the GP. Yeah. GP said, reaction from the clothing. You've got to wash it first.
But I thought formaldehyde. You've got to clean them off when they're covered in shit. He's still got poo all over it. You have to give him a little wash down.
They spray it for bugs. Yeah, so they spray it in chemicals.
Aren't they amazing.
Mm.
Good chat.
There you go.
Yeah, well done.
What about that?
Matt's written here.
Do we need it?
No, because I do need it because I need
Claymore.
Thank you. I've seen a warning on a claymore that says do not eat.
A claymore is a sword. It's also a type of mine. As in exploding mine, a claymore.
Oh, for sword swallowers.
But swords are a big sword's called a claymore as well. What are you doing with your life, Matt, that you're involved in mines or swords?
Well, he might be one of those guys in the park.
He might be a sword swallower.
And they do sword.
Oh, the sword swallowers.
One of these people.
Fly breathing. Oh, that's a bit rough.
Not you, Matt, those people. If you're one of them, you're a loser, but I'm sure you're not, Matt.
Hold on. And
love
a reminder.
Keep texting, Matt. We love you.
There's a reminder. Well, you can't.
Who's the funniest comedian actor of all time? Jim Carrey's getting my vote.
He's way up there.
He is so
Jack
good.
Jack Black's up there too for
John Belushi, for those old enough to know who he was. Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers,
Dan Aykroyd. Bill Murray.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
He's pretty funny.
What are we talking about now?
We've created a whole new show.
This could be the funniest one ever. And a reminder to put your name and suburb on your text because we like to give you a shout out to your messages because, our producer must have written that.
Yeah, we don't have a name or a suburb.
Anonymous has written, I've seen a warning on a barbecue that says, caution, may be hot while in use. And the producer's even writing gags now. I bloody well hope it is.
Loser.
Motto, Margo and Dan on Triple M.
Do you guys remember when the Dolphins came to us last year and said, oh, it's going to be a huge season. Look at this is where we're playing round four. And we went, oh, yeah, whatever. The Dolphins v. Broncos be nothing. Now it's something that's never occurred before.
Haven't the marketing departments really highlighted their abilities
full of hype.
In the last couple of weeks?
Full of hype.
It's been incredible. They've
undefeated, the Bronx and the Dolphins. Yeah,
there's a giant Broncos jersey hanging from the cliffs of Kangaroo Point.
It says, welcome to Finland.
The Brisbane Airport, when you fly in, it's incredible. They've taken over.
Well, here's a bloke who has seen it all. The King, Wally Lewis. Hello and welcome.
Good morning. How are you guys?
What do you make of all this build-up? This is extraordinary.
Yeah, it's something that we haven't seen for a long, long time in town. And I was listening to a guy last night who came up with a comic line of it's the people that have been coached and tipped by Bennett against the ones that are just learning their trade. And to have the general public be able to sit back and watch this, it's a real blockbuster, and it's going to be one of those games, I think, that we talk about for months to come.
Mum, Wally, I'm doing my tips today. I've got to have them in for the Courier Mail. Broncos, Dolphins. I'm torn because, you know, I bleed maroon. I was a loyal servant to the Broncos.
You're a Bronco wag.
And still am, you know, life member there. But the Dolphins are looking good, Wall. How do you split this one down the middle? Who wins it for them?
Oh, it's almost impossible to split it down the middle. I was just going through the team list and just trying to think, well, you can't take anything away from the Dolphins, because they mightn't quite be as experienced, but there's going to be plenty of the jealousy in this game and a little bit of hatred as well. The loss of Felice Kaufusi, though, I think that'll be dramatic for the Dolphins. I really think that'll take them away, and that's got the making me sort of lean towards the Broncos just a little bit. But you know, haven't seen Wayne Bennett's skills over the years. He's the best coach in the business, bar none.
Hey, let's talk about
fantastic coach.
Let's talk about him. The Dolphins, what they've done in their three wins, Raiders, Roosters, etc. They've dragged the other team down to their level. That's what Wayne does so well. Makes it a defensive grit game. Can they do it? They can't do it again to the Broncos, can they?
Well, gee, I don't know, mate. I'm like everyone else in town. I keep finding a reason to back the Broncos, and then you look at the Dolphins team, and the reason, and they've got you know, Coach Kevy. He went to Canberra, lived you know, in Canberra, came back up here to learn the trade under Wayne Bennett. I want to back the Broncos, but you just keep looking at the Dolphins and thinking, well, they can't be ignored. Well, I'm sticking with the Broncos. I really do, you know, think that they've been in pretty good form, really good form.
Because when you play them off against each other, they say, oh, we've got Reece Walsh, and it's like, well, we've got Hamiso Tibuai-Fadori. You say, we've got Jesse Arthurs. Well, we've got Jermaine Asako, Herbie Farnworth. Yeah. I'll give you a Branko Lee. Katoni Staggs, I'll raise you a Ewan Aitken. You know, like, you just, the battle back and forth, the battle has been strong on this one, and they're really, it's a big selling point. The battle of Brisbane, the battle for
that's
Brisbane.
Why there's no seats left, and that's one of the reasons we're ringing you, Wally. We're giving away 20 tickets, 10 to the winning team, 10 doubles to the winning team of a tug of war we're holding on the Kurilpa Bridge, and we wanted you to help us out.
Righto.
What do you know
about? Seems like a good idea.
Yeah, we're not requiring you to do any tugging. We just want you to start the event, if you wouldn't mind, to give it a degree of prestige.
All right, sounds like a good idea. We'll come up with that one.
And just to Friday be neutral, morning. Could you wear your Gold Coast jersey for the day?
The Chargers.
The Chargers.
I do that. No one's going to turn up. They're going to be saying, no, you're kidding.
It is the battle of the north v south sides of town. Marto, a proud north side boy. Myself, a proud south side girl. What side of town would you consider yourself?
I'm right in the middle. I'm in the city at the moment. I'm a south side boy, though. I have. I've always grown up on the south side.
Happy to have you aboard, Wally.
Cannon Hill.
I salute.
I was a Cannon Hill boy, and as Marto knows the story, I said to my father, "Geez, why did you live at Cannon Hill? Was it a new suburb?" He said, "Because we couldn't afford to live anywhere else." And I got a good giggle out of him. But yeah, I've always been a very proud south boy, and I went and played for Winner Manly in the end.
King Walter. Hold on. Now, you bet you travelled across to Newman Oval, were played for Valleys in those early days.
Yeah. And
you're always Northside curious.
The bloke that was playing just across the fence. I'm sure you'll remember him, Marto.
Who's that?
There were plenty of that going on at Brothers Rugby in those days.
Oh, yeah.
Impossible
chosen to be there by choice.
But what matters nowadays is how you identify. And Wally identifies as a Southsider, but that's okay.
We're happy to have you along.
King Wall, could we get the royal blessing Friday morning on the Kurilpa pedestrian bridge? You can start the big tug of war for us, please, sir.
Love to. I'll be there. A very proud man.
Good stuff.
Tug of war Friday morning. And then the Battle of Brisbane being played out at the Cauldron Suncorp Stadium Friday night, 7 p.m. kickoff.
Get your fins up, King.
If you can't get there, Dolphins v Broncos live and free Friday 9, Channel 9, 7 p.m. It's on Channel 9 and 9 now, all right? And your three-game membership's on sale now, dolphinsnrl.com.au. It's gone to the next level, this tug of war. We need a couple more tuggers on the show.
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. Brisbane Ass.
We want to talk about something that came up on the show yesterday. Jaden was his name. And we're
Jaden
talking
from Perga.
Annoying Karen devices.
Well, my watch, remember, was telling me, your environment's too noisy. You're going to lose your hearing.
We said, you know, things beep at you. Your car,
they warn you.
You put a bag on the seat next to you, the passenger seat in the car, and it
beeps. The seatbelt sign goes off.
Thinks there's a passenger.
Well, what was he talking about? Oh, chainsaw warning.
Well, he said your tools warn you as well.
Yeah.
So we want to talk, 133353, the greatest or the stupidest warnings you've seen. Have a listen to this.
G'day, Jaden.
Talking Karen devices, what's pestering you in your life?
I got a warning on my chainsaw saying, do not put genitals on blade.
That's the one.
It's kind of like common sense stuff, right? Because no one's really putting their genitals on their blade or their chainsaw, are they?
Is it done in China because it doesn't translate well? Is that what, don't put tongue on iron when it's turned on? Have you ever seen that one?
Well, that's silly, right? Common sense must prevail at some stage.
I'm not thinking that. And then when I see that warning, I'm like, well, now I want to put my tongue on it. Wonder what it tastes like.
You know, like
someone's clearly done it. It tastes good because they have to warn people.
The example was given bleach. It says, do not drink. Well, okay, yeah, I'm well aware that that would be a stupid idea. Well, why do you need to warn me about it? Are people drinking bleach?
Ricky Gervais, the comic's point about that is take that warning off and come back in 2 years and you won't need it anymore.
Oh, they'll all be dead, all the idiots. And that's such a great point. Shouldn't put your genitals on anything dangerous.
Well,
like
do we need those people out of the gene pool? Do we take that warning off the chainsaws and we get rid of all the genitals of the people who would put their genitals on a chainsaw? And is humanity better for it?
Do you read the instructions when you get things? Because the first two, three pages of any tool, what do you call the fans? Like a
pedestal fan.
Pedestal fan the other day. The first four pages were warnings about where.
What?
Like there's a spinning blade and it's quite obvious you don't put stuff in there.
Don't put your fingers in.
Your tongue or anything like that or your genitals in there.
How fun was it? They go, oh. As it went round and round. Wow.
It didn't say you can't do that. It didn't say waste 10 seconds of radio making noises. That was very good, though. Everyone did that, too. Have you ever done a
you
fart into the back of a
pants? You used to put your finger in because it said, don't put your finger in, and you're like, I want to see what it feels like. And it clipped you.
And you go, lost that one.
Can I just tell you quickly, when I lived at Emmanuel College at UQ, everyone would have those little fans on their windowsill to blow a bit of cool air in from outside.
Yeah.
One day, one of my mates crept up
behind
it.
Poor man's air conditioning, it's called.
Correct. And we had a fly screen. He very carefully, with a scalpel, cut out a bit of fly screen and then threw a cup of Milo into the back and it exploded.
Oh, my God. That's fun. That should be a warning.
They should warn you. Don't put Milo in your fan.
Is that what we're talking about here?
More stupid warning labels, perhaps. Go, I'm not going to drink the bleach, you idiot. On the burner phone.
I've got a text.
Hold on, Laurie from Deegan. Thanks, Laurie. Marto, I bought a microwave on the weekend. It had a warning on it. Do not use for drying pets.
No, I didn't.
Is that not the
greatest? What about the warning on the wheelbarrow?
What?
Caution, not intended for highway use.
Really?
Oh, really?
That's great.
1-333-53 or text us 0484-101045. Stupid warnings, very obvious warnings you've seen.
It's too good, didn't you? Have you got you spotted one before?
Yeah, the other one for the chainsaw is do not use wrong end. Like, do not hold the wrong end of the chainsaw.
Well, how are you going to find out which is the wrong end?
I know, right?
Jeez.
I love this one, though, on a thermometer. Once used rectally, the thermometer should not be used orally.
Oh, ooh. Tasty. Benny from Brackenridge on the burner phone. I went to a public swimming pool in Japan last year and the sign read, do not breathe underwater.
Valid.
Well, fair enough.
Yes. I take in some water. Yeah. What about me?
As you say, if enough people do it, you don't need the sign.
Too many people try to breathe underwater.
Do not take sleeping pills while driving. May cause drowsiness.
My God.
Genius.
Some
level.
Revelations around the joint.
Doug from Stafford. Good morning.
Morning. How are you guys going?
Yeah, good, mate. Glaringly obvious warning signs. What have you seen?
I got a circular saw and it said, do not use as a dental device.
Oh, wow.
Some of our men have been known to do their own dental work at home with pliers, etc. I haven't heard of the circular saw, though.
Mark and Ipswich, what do you got on annoying, silly, obvious warning labels?
Fitted a battery to a car the other day and on the battery was a warning label. Don't drink the contents of the battery.
Oh, that's wise.
Oh, what is in a battery that you can drink? Battery fluid.
Battery fluid.
Acid. No, thank you. What about Dan on the burner phone from Kapala Bay? He said, how about on pet food they have written not for human consumption? Really.
Cost of living crisis we're going through.
Meat is
at the
expensive. Chops are $79 a kilo, Marto. $9.95 dog rolls. Looking good, isn't it?
Bloody oath. Don't knock it until you try it with a cracker.
It's good enough for them. Why isn't it good enough for us?
Try it with a cracker, I'm sure it'd disguise a lot of things.
I ate some dog ice cream on the weekend on the Today Show.
Oh, did you?
What's dog ice cream?
It's just coconut ice cream. It was really good.
Oh, so it wasn't the chocolate type that you find on the grass occasionally?
No, not a dog apple. Holly Breen, his humour ain't clean. With his handlebar
moustache, he looks mean. It's Holly Breen.
It's more of an overgrown beard into the moustache at the moment. What's happening?
It's a full face scenario at the moment. All of my hair on my body resembles this. This is what happens when you only work half an hour a week. We don't prepare.
Having you, Harley. Always so enthusiastic to be here.
And also, I'm a renter, Dare to Dream, and tiles just fell off my shower. They just fell off the wall. So we haven't showered in about 5 days at my house. Jeez, it's getting pretty rank.
The tiles would rather smash themselves to pieces than look at you nude, Harley Breen.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I'm hearing there.
Well, look, it's been a bit problematic around the house. Like, you know, I've got kids coming out the yin-yang. They're in the cupboards. They're climbing up on the roof. And the other day, out of all three of my children, the youngest one is my favourite. The other two know this. It's on the fridge. And
what, in a magnet? Or you've just written a note?
No, she's on the fridge. I just pin her up there. I can't keep track of her. But listen, she's quite a gentle child and doesn't often tantrum. And the other day, I don't know what had happened, but she decided she wasn't happy with the scenario that I'd laid out for her, which was, here's the food I made for you, and she didn't like it, and she threw a tantrum. And so, like a good parent, I went into the backyard and just got on my phone, you know?
Just walked away. Ignore it.
I just started scrolling and looking. And I was on Instagram, and as I was scrolling, lo and behold, a parenting expert popped up.
Oh, just at the right time, too.
At the right time. It's almost like your phones are listening to you.
Aren't they the best? I love parenting advice on Instagram.
Oh, mate. How many parenting experts don't actually have kids?
Yeah.
Oh, or what about the one that's had one child and now knows everything?
I love
that. This was one of those ones, right? This person hadn't been to any kind of tertiary establishment. But had a child and was telling people how to deal with a tantrum. Now, Marigold was having quite a prolonged tantrum. It was going for about 25 minutes and it was really starting to interrupt the taste of my beer. And this...
what was the suggestion that she put forward to you, Harley?
The expert said to me, well, she was talking to all of her followers, all about 150 of them. That when a child is tantruming, don't just stand over the top of them and demand that they stop their behaviour, because this will just make them continue to do that, because now they're feeling vulnerable and they become volatile. You have to get down on their level. Oh. And I thought, you know what? I've finished my beer. I need to go inside anyway. So I wandered back in and she's still flailing around on the floor. And I did think for a minute I should just dress her up in terry toweling and we'd get the floor mop at the same time. And I leant down and you've got to get down on their level. Yeah.
Did you lay down on the floor also?
Yes, I laid down on the floor and I got right up near her and I said, hey, I understand you feel... Anyway, as I was right on her level, she leant back and booted me in the mouth.
Wow.
So I deleted Instagram.
Yeah.
People want Brisbane now, don't they?
Mm, yeah.
Because have you guys heard? Well, now, I don't want to say that it's because of me, but I do one segment called Breen's Brown Eye on Brisbane. Remember that? What a success that was. People wrote in and said, geez, that was good radio.
Are you going to get a column in the travel guide or something?
Now,
what's happening?
All of a sudden, just because I put a little bit of focus on this wonderful city of Brisbane, it has been named in Time Magazine's 50 must-see destinations.
That's not because of your segment.
That's because of me.
No one remembers the segment.
Time Magazine, that's proper.
Now, Time Magazine, Marto, has 20 million subscribers worldwide. This is no slouch. This is something. People are reading this and they're going, well, hell, I better get over there to Brisbane.
What's this Brisbane thing?
The best part is they used a photo from 10 years ago. It looks nothing like Brisbane whatsoever.
It's missing four bridges.
It would look better now, though, wouldn't it? Surely.
There's places all over the world that they've listed, right, that are incredible. There's a place where there's a hotel on the side of a cliff face and there's the pyramids and there's these amazing island destinations.
We're up against the pyramids. We're in that sort of caliber.
They are 50 places listed, and Brisbane is one of the top. Now, just so you know, there's only one other place in Australia listed, and that was Kangaroo Island in South Australia. Now, I went there for a morale booster after the fires. There is no island left. So, just saying, it's a fairly easy list to get on. But I'll have you know, there's another list out. guys. And Brisbane doesn't feature on that. In fact, Australia comes in number 12 on this list, and it's the happiest places
just outside
in
the 10,
world.
Bugger.
Oh,
just
who's
outside
happier
the
than
10.
Us? Who, yeah, what's going, what are the, why are they happy?
Well, I'll read you this top list. Finland is number one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All those Nordic countries.
They've got a prime minister that's just finished high school, so it's just a party over there at the moment.
Yeah, quick, hang on. By Finland, do you mean PH, like there's a sign at the airport saying, welcome to Finland?
Dolphin town, mate. Dolphin country. That's exactly. It's the happiest place on earth.
Peninsula.
But we've got Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Netherlands, Sweden, Norway, Switzerland, Luxembourg. What have all those places got in common?
They are cold.
For part of the year, there is no sunlight whatsoever.
Hey, so why are they happy?
Because they're sleeping and warm inside all the time.
There's a lot of drugs involved in this happiness.
This happiness.
A bit icy, are they, and not the snow time.
So where are we? 12th.
Australia is number 12 behind Austria and New Zealand.
New Zealand beat us. Well, there's less of them over there to be disappointed.
You know, half of them are here in Australia. I think they voted for the wrong country.
Did we beat America at least? Where are the Yanks?
We did beat America. America got in at about number 16, 17, which is quite surprising, to be honest.
Who's the least happy, Harley?
Oh, what do you reckon? Just throw yourself a guess. It's not as happy a chat, to
China?
Be honest.
Afghanistan?
There you go, Marta. Oh, Afghanistan.
The Middle East, yeah.
It's not really the way I thought I'd finish this funny radio.
Over and out, Harley. See you next week.
Bow.
Triple M Breakfast with Marta, Margo and Dan.
Hey, I went to a funeral yesterday afternoon. Old family friend.
Sorry to hear.
Took me mum. God, it was good. Mum guided her around the funeral. Mum's in such good form. And it was an old family friend. And it was the old bloke who used to, the guy, father of one of my best mates, used to drive us home from school most days.
That's really
nice. You learn a lot from mum.
Are you still mates with the boy?
He's my lawyer.
He grew up.
We grew up in the back seat of his dad's car going home from school, playing cricket and footy together. Played footy at uni together. He went on to become a lawyer. And when I needed a lawyer, first DD charge.
How wonderful for him, though, that you were there. That is really nice.
It was really
you've been mates for decades.
You learn so much from funerals, and it was all about family and stuff like that. And then I get home, watch the news, and Rupert Murdoch was on.
The lucky lady is twice married, 66-year-old Anne Leslie Smith, a former San Francisco police chaplain who met Murdoch at his vineyard just 6 months ago.
Rupert Murdoch's 92 years of age, about to get married for the fifth time.
Jesus. Hey. He was with Jerry Hall, wasn't he? They just split not long ago. Jesus moves on quickly.
Six children?
Actually, they'll tell a lot of the stats. This bloke doing the reports, an old mate of mine, Damien Ryan, and he tells us such a wonderful story on Rupert and what an impressive human being Rupert Murdoch is. And they got an exclusive interview, of course.
The billionaire told his paper, "I dreaded falling in love, but I knew this would be my last. It better be. I'm happy.
It better be my last." Like, fair.
Don't give up so soon, Rupert. Yeah. You've got how many? He's 92. He's got a couple of good years.
A couple of years in the tank.
Now, hold on. But you've ditched.
Jeez, hasn't she gone onto a winner?
You've ditched Jerry Hall. Hasn't she gone onto a winner? Bloody oh.
There won't be long left in him. And then how much of that does she get? What's he worth?
Oh, there'd be $26 billion he's
$26 billion.
There'll be a prenup and stuff like that.
Because she's not thinking 92, is she? She's just thinking 26.
She's thinking get to
26
this
billion.
Is only an engagement. She's just thinking get to that marriage. I just got to marry the old bastard and
look,
I'll be
right.
Look,
it might be love. You not know, even. If I was in a vineyard, where was the vineyard?
In California somewhere.
If I was in some vineyard and the owner swooned across to me, I'd after a tasting
he's
of wine.
He's just a complete wrinkly. Listen to his lot. He's had a few go. He's been going since 1956.
The first time was in 1956, tying the knot with Aussie flight attendant Patricia Booker. He backed up in 1967, marrying journalist Anna Tull. Then it was the feisty Wendy Dang in 1999 saying I do to model Jerry Hall in 2016.
Who doesn't want to keep throwing the leg over Jerry Hall? Who thinks she's getting too...
I don't know. If feisty Wendy Deng comes along, which does sound like a meal at a restaurant.
Just one last one, Margo, before we pile in on Rupert Murdoch. Yeah.
A long engagement seems off the table for the nonagenarian, who says we're both looking forward to spending the second half of our lives together.
Second half?
Hang on, is he
She'll be
live...
a widow before she's his wife,
he's
I reckon.
He's
going
to live to 184, you reckon?
Play the music.
All right, here you go.
I know people who are 75 who aren't confident enough to buy a new pair of shoes, and he's planning another wedding at the age of 92.
Well, at least he'll be able to afford lots of Viagra, which is what he's probably going to need.
He won't need to buy it. That'll be the wedding present,
the wedding gift, Pfizer.
Well, you know, you were talking before about going to the moon. He's one of the first person who could afford to have a wedding on the moon.
Oh, space wedding.
And that leads me to believe stiffies on the moon, would they be easier to get?
Impossible.
Well, it's a blood flow thing, so you probably need less blood.
Less
to
pressure.
Gravity on the moon's 1/6 of on Earth, so you only need 1/6 of the blood in there, so you only need 1/6 of the Viagra, so you can save your pills.
And, yeah, they often talk about big projects, like it's a moonshot project. Mm. That would be...
A moonshot.
A moonshot. If Rupert could get one
you're
away...
You're fantasising. Stop. Triple M Breakfast, don't you know, Marto,
Margo and Dan on the radio. Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
I don't want to talk cricket, but I can't avoid it. I simply can't avoid it.
What's happening?
Have you heard what's happening in the United States? When I say United States, you immediately think cricket, don't you?
I think.
Guns. Listen,
guns and schools.
Just last week, I don't know if you saw that story, at the Houston Space Center, I'm sure you all know it, they unveiled the girl who's going to travel to the moon and walk on the moon.
I didn't see it.
Oh, we've got to talk about her one day too.
Okay.
Oh, she's amazing.
What happened?
Oh, well, they had an event there last week, but this week, so that was, they actually had space stuff there at the Space Center. This week, they've just announced the Major League Cricket competition that's about to take place.
What?
There's a new T20 competition. There's a new
in
kid
space.
In town. No, not in space. In America.
That'd be amazing.
But they did it.
In space.
How hard did he hit that?
Oh, my God. He's hit that out to Neptune.
Whoa. The ball's lodged. That's an 18.
That's lodged in Uranus.
Oh, we'll give you 24 for that, Sean. That's brilliant.
Stop the show.
Space cricket.
If you hit the ball in space, it would slow down the ball, wouldn't it?
But it'd go a shit ton.
Oh, don't try and do physics, Margo.
You know when they go into space and they go really slowly.
That's movies.
No gravity. That's in the movie.
Oh, okay. That doesn't actually happen.
The longest golf drive in the history of humanity was on the moon, Apollo 16. I think they hit a golf ball that just went forever, essentially forever.
I didn't want to talk about space.
Sorry.
It's been joyous.
Space cricket. How good.
What would happen if they had Bathurst on the moon?
Is there a boundary?
Let's just talk about the moon. They had Bathurst. Would they use less fuel?
Yeah, and it'd be really, really dirty. You'd need wipers and you'd need to go through a lot of fluid clean. The moon is disgusting.
They could race rockets around the moon.
Yes. What about if they played rugby league on the moon? If they played rugby league on the moon, then when Felice Carfusi hits...
It'd be slow motion.
..a playmaker, it wouldn't hurt him, would it?
You wouldn't have to go to the bunker.
He'd fall to the ground.
I've got some audio of Wayne Bennett coaching on the moon at halftime, if you'd like to hear it. Ready?
You don't want to light the candle
thanks, Wayne.
Until it's ready to go.
What I was going to tell you, and I'll wrap this up
quickly. Did you want to talk about the WPL?
No, there's a Major League Cricket competition that's taking place in America. They're pumping $180 million
Can
into
Americans
it.
Americans play cricket?
Do you know how many Indians live in America? 4.2 million of them, and that's what it's all about. And six teams. They've six teams, four of them are owned by IPL teams.
Who's backing this?
The Indians. Not the cowboy Indians, the Indian
Not
Indians.
Not the red Indians.
The India Indians.
What I really want to know is how many Indians live on the moon and when can we get the moon league going, please?
It's only a matter of... Stop it. Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M. Entertainment news. We don't often do that at this hour.
Oh, well, you don't normally do it at this hour, Marto.
Wow. Rod Stewart. I didn't even know he was in Australia.
Yeah, he was here last Wednesday night, wasn't it?
In Brisbane?
Yeah.
Incredible. Why didn't you tell me?
Oh, I didn't know you were a Rod Stewart fan.
I'm not. I know
you're an Elton fan and a Queen fan. I didn't realise you were a lover of the Rod.
Let's just correct all of those. I'm none of those fans. I can't
You love it when we play
it.
Queen, Marto.
Rod Stewart is a complete imposter. Listen
I don't
to
mind
that.
This track. Yeah, Margo's
this is Marto's theme song.
Hold on. He's a molester of young girls. Let's just face facts. How many of his songs were about molesting young girls? Let him go, everyone. Review some of his lyrics.
Okay.
Anyway, that's Rod Stewart, but that's not who I really wanted to talk about. Yeah, I know. Well, I wanted to get that nonsense off the air.
Oh, get it off.
Well, you're driving in and you're going, I didn't turn on a Triple M to listen to Rod Stewart nonsense.
I can't help myself.
What you turned it on was to listen to, there's been more trouble. There's been more trouble at the Rod Stewart, and it's not girls throwing undies or anything like that. TV legend Molly Meldrum's bizarre antics have disgusted fans. At a Rod Stewart.
What's he done now? He didn't pull his pants down again and show his bottom.
Has he?
Elton John.
Is he a one-trick pony?
No, he's done. Remember, Elton John when he got up there on the stage, near the piano and pulled his pants down.
He got out his little tiny dancer.
Now Elton John, listen, that's enough.
He had saggy old bum.
Liver spots.
Ooh.
He has an acquired brain injury, a lot of people think, after he fell off that thing.
He's old.
In footage, the Countdown star can be seen exposing his genitals while seated amongst revelers at Rod Laver Arena on Wednesday night. According to witnesses, the then 80-year-old, after flopping it out, urinated on the floor.
Oh. Disgusting. He weed on the floor. Why was he not wearing a nappy?
Well, somebody has to tap him on the shoulder and go, that's enough, mate. He can't leave the nursing home from now on, surely. Who's responsible?
Who's his carer?
Who are
his minders?
Haven't we got NDIS for things like this? Someone to take him out and put his nappy on?
He's worse than my 1.5-year-old. He's always taking his nappy off. And going, no!
He'll need cable ties for a belt, so somebody with a sharp knife must get his pants off at the end of the night.
Molly is not allowed to go to any more concerts.
No more drinking fluids.
No.
Ever.
After five.
Okay.
Put him away. He's a national treasure. They brought out Muhammad Ali to throw out the first pitch at a baseball game once. He's in a wheelchair.
Did he urinate?
That's not how we want to remember them.
No, we don't want to remember
them. We want to remember
like
them in their glory days.
Yeah. No. Up on a ladder.
Actually, halftime entertainment.
Did Molly have any glory days?
Molly didn't do anything.
He hosted a TV show.
He hung around with famous people.
Do yourself a favour, Molly. Yeah. Pull your pants up and leave them there.
Or at least if you're going to pee, do it in your hat.
and a wee.
And a Kubri.
Oh, disgrace.
Oh, it's Triple M. Poor Molly.
Thank you.
We want your little legend, your kid who's just doing great, maybe helping out the local community, maybe doing well at school, looking after their siblings, whatever it is. If you've got a kid in your life that's very impressive, they could run out onto the field holding Jesse Bromwich's hand, lead the Dolphins out in the battle for Brisbane. It's Friday night. Yeah, we're taking
52,500 fans screaming out, and you're the little kid there. You'll never forget that. It's
incredible
changing.
We'll do that in 10 minutes' time, the mini mascot. And also, the tug of war, where the winning team will get tickets to go to the Battle of Brisbane. Big announcement regarding the tug of war and the legend of rugby league who's going to be getting involved and actually launching the tug of war. It's got a royal blessing.
Listen, I'll give you an announcement. Remember a few weeks ago, well, it's probably going on nearly a month ago, when the government came out and said, listen, we're going to knock the Gabba down. We're going to demolish
it. Everyone went, huh?
Yeah, I thought we were going to just fix it up and this Olympics wasn't going to cost us a lot of money. And people started going, $2.5 billion to knock the Gabba down, rebuild it. Are you telling me Juliet and Stanley Street are going to be closed for 6 years? I've heard that quoted too. Anyway.
And they're going to knock down that little East Brisbane Primary School too. That's been there for 100 years.
All those sort of things. I wondered, well, is it just us who are going, things are going a bit weird. It's as if the unions might be controlling this Olympic bit. Anyway, it appears that everyone else is onto it. There was a big survey last night on Channel 9.
From a poll of more than 5,000 viewers, just 13% support demolishing and rebuilding the Gabba. Even fewer think the $2.7 billion price tag is value for money. 87% think it could be done cheaper elsewhere.
All right, please discuss. 87% are saying don't touch, just fix the Gabba up, don't demolish it.
What will they be using the Gabba for? For the Olympics?
The running, track athletics. And track and field. Yeah, okay.
All that stuff,
and
I'd imagine.
All that stuff.
Big oval.
What's wrong with
that?
CUSAC?
Thank you. That's where I want to go. QSAC is, isn't you that, mean ANZ Stadium or QE2, old, yeah, whatever anyone wants to call it.
The old QE2, which is actually the athletics
It's sitting center. There at Mount Gravatt doing nothing. I want to ask you what's wrong with Albion Park Raceway, where they run the trots and dogs. It is perfect. It's 2 kilometres from where they're going to put all the athletes out at Albion. You know Albion? Uh-huh. It's right next to main train stations where all the trains sleep during the day when they're not running. It seems perfect. Or... what was the other one I was going to tell you about? The exhibition grounds.
Yeah,
what's wrong with the Ecker? It is right next to a train station, right next to the Cross River Rail where it pops out, and you just fix that. Like, who cares about those old grandstands at the Ecker? Put a magnificent stadium right. Who cares about Gregory Terrace?
Oh, build it. So leave the Gabba, then build a big stadium.
Is that heritage, though?
Leave the Gabba as it is. Fix up whatever you think you got to fix up for the cricket or whatever, but bugger that off. And then there's no stoppages. It's heritage listed.
I think exhibition grounds that's are heritage listed.
But they've done that with scoreboards at other stadiums, the SCG. You can probably keep some
leave
of that and
bits
make
of it
nice.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable to sit in. It's ridiculous. What do you got?
Well, just another option. Just if you're really getting overloaded, you've got Carrara Stadium just down the M1 right off the highway. If you've
this
got
is not the Gold Coast Olympics, it's the Brisbane Olympics.
No, but there'll be satellite games on. I went to the Olympics in 2000 here in Brizzy. There was a soccer match on
soccer
the
match at the Gabba. Yeah.
I went to that as part of the games, whatever it was.
I don't know if anyone wants to vote on any of those, but 133353, otherwise we'll push on with the show. I'm happy. But that survey, there was 5,000 people. That's enough people to go, hold on, they're correct figures.
Do you reckon if they'd done this survey 2 years ago when interest rates were 0.01%, people would go, yeah, 2.5 bill.
We were rich then. Now,
free
and now,
money.
Hang on. We're broke.
10 interest rate rises. Hang on a second. Hold up.
Interesting. Ponder that one today.
Can I say, though, the new Paralympic Centre of Excellence at the University of Queensland, St Lucia, looks pretty impressive.
Have you seen the set of stairs in it?
Oh, no.
Should that be a ramp?
Yes, I believe.
This is Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan. Brisbane as.
Some may say it's the end of an era. Some may say it's the beginning of a new one. But as of tomorrow, officially, our home will be up for sale. This afternoon, we've got photos. To the editorial.
Chateau de Parker.
Chateau de Parker.
You're the human face of this cost of living crisis.
I am.
Being forced to live in the car with the four kids.
I was telling you about my new budget. I was like, I will have none of it. Sell the house. Sell the children. Sell it all.
You've turned this around. You came to this idea. Well, we witnessed it, I think, 9 days ago.
Last Tuesday.
And you get last Tuesday. That's 9 days between there and putting a sign in front of your house saying for sale.
Yeah.
When does it happen? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Marto. Oh, we officially go on the market and we have our first open home on Friday. And can I tell you what? Geez, the place has never looked better. It's the only thing about selling your house, right? Yep. You live in it for all of this time and then you clean, you tidy, you paint, you mow, you landscape, you do all of the things, fix the broken tile, get it ready for sale for somebody else to enjoy. And then you stand back, look at it and go, jeez, I don't want to sell it. Jeez, it looks good. Can we stay?
I was at our place for 24 years. It took me 8 months to do what you've done in nine days.
I take my hat off to my husband. He is an incredible.
A dynamo.
He was up again at 3 o'clock this morning just going hammer and tongs. He didn't actually.
His nickname should be Nipples.
He's got great nipples. But he has just gone hammer and tong for the last 5-6 days, painting, staining, sanding, stripping,
it's
edging,
about tricking the buyer,
landscaping,
isn't it?
Weeding, blowing, gurneying, Marto.
I know. I've been there, but as I said, it took me months. I can't believe you guys have turned it around. And it's about tricking the buyer. That's what you've got to do from here on in.
Look over here, look over here. Don't look at that
little bit over there.
It's like when you're single getting ready for a night out.
Your
best foot forward, you know, make yourself look amazing. Don't let them know what's really going on under the hood.
And I've been learning some little tricks of the trade because we've been looking at open homes as well because we're in the market to buy.
You'll need a house.
We need a home. We don't have anywhere to live but the Jayco, the caravan.
Oh, God.
I did say to Corey, he said, yeah, but where are we going to put the Jayco? And I
outside
said, well,
the school.
Then that way the kids can walk.
Well, don't you stay in it. You don't have to stay in the Jayco. Just put the four kids outside the school.
I said, we can put the caravan at Jayco in the caravan yard at Tin Galpa and just stay there.
That's funny too.
Free rent as well.
And the basement down here at the barracks. You just come straight up the lift for work. Free parking.
Got a little swipey tag.
Now, have you got Broncos Nuffies coming through your house, you think, to look at buying? Like, is Graham Snow our producer? Look at him. He's got his hand up.
I will expect all of the neighbours. I will expect all of the parents from school, all the sticky beakers, all the nosy neighbours to come through. Because that's what I do. As soon as a house comes up for sale in the area, you go and have a look. You have no interest in buying it, but you just want to go and have a look and
what
go,
will you
how
do
the other half live?
What will you do in open house? Will you buzz off? You're not going to be one of those people.
I'm not lurking.
I went through one recently.
Well, this is the
people
problem.
Were still there lying on a bed.
No, like, you know
you
what's
can't
worse?
Be inside the
owner
house.
Selling you the house, showing you through. I did one of those just recently. I was like, this is not going to work for me. I'm sorry.
All right. You know what my daughter did? Because she was looking at houses. There was a renter still there because he didn't want to leave. He badmouthed the house to the people looking to buy it.
You don't want this shit box.
It's terrible.
There's termites in there.
Don't buy this one.
Hey, should we ask anyone? 1-3-3-5-3 Any tactics that Margo needs to be aware of to help sell your house?
Blueberry muffins in the oven, I was told.
Is that bullshit or not?
Candles? I don't know. Fresh flowers? What does it for you?
Clean the skitties off the bowl.
Yes! The crowd rumbles!
Triple M's mini mascot.
Yeah, it's a local legend, little kid who can be the mini mascot, run out holding the captain of the Dolphins' hands, Jesse Bromwich, in front of 52,500. But
what
they've got to earn it. They've got to be a special kiddie doing something in their community that's helping people out. They love rugby league.
Or a little rugby league kiddie who loves the game and goes, I love rugby league. Oh, can I come?
And we've been reading through all your submissions online, triplem.com.au. Head to the win page to register. And we found one that we came across that we thought was really, really cute, Marto.
It was nice. Here it is. Jack just played his first game of NRL on Saturday. This is last Saturday and absolutely smashed it. Had a blast. He scored 3 tries with singing... Oh,
three
we're
tries.
Singing the Dolphin song, Get Your Fins Up, Get Your Fins Up, throughout the game.
Jack's only 5. He would have played under 6s.
Oh, there's a photo of Jack.
For his very first time. Very, very cute. I can't
see
who he
plays for. What team is that? That's the Stag. So he maybe, is that a Stag? Maybe he's at Samford? I don't know.
Eaton's Hill.
So he was going fins up all throughout the game, and at the end of the game to celebrate the win, he got the fins up. Jack constantly walks around the house singing the song. We'd love to go to the game. It'll be his first ever NRL game to watch live.
Oh, and his mum joins us. Danny from Upper Kedron. Good morning.
Hello.
Tell us about Jack. You've nominated him for our Triple M mini mascot to go into the draw. Tell us a little bit about him other than the fact that he played his first NRL game and he loved it.
Yeah, he did. So he's 5. He played his first game for Sanford Stags.
There you go. So it is Sanford Stags. So he plays at the Sanford
Stags.
What a beautiful field.
It's lovely out there.
Isn't it? Lovely. He looks good. So that was his first game. He is one really tall 5-year-old, is he?
He is, he's tall.
Yeah, good.
So, Danny, he's been walking around singing, put your fins up, so he's clearly on board with the Dolphins.
Yep.
What would
love
it mean to him
Dolphins.
To run out holding Jesse Bromwich's hand in front of 52,500 screaming maniacs at Suncorp?
Oh, he'd be stoked. He asked us the other day if we could get tickets. We didn't realise he'd actually want to go. But, yeah, he'd absolutely love it. He constantly sings the song.
You know what I love, and don't stamp it out too early, Danny, but he's a kid who got his new socks. He's pulled them up over his knees.
I love it.
Well, Danny, we're going to draw this tomorrow. There's only 4 kids in at this stage, and if he's the one, the whole family will get tickets to go along to the Battle of Brisbane.
Awesome.
Good on
Thank you, mate. That'd be great.
Well done, and good work with young Jack as well. Keep it up.
Thank you.
All right, so there you go. 4th kitty in. Tomorrow on the show, the mini mascot gets drawn. It could be your kid running out. Jesse Bromwich, 52,500 people. Biggest ever
Money
club
match.
Money
can't buy experience. This is an opportunity that they'll never forget.
That's right. You can still grab your 3-game memberships, though, for the Dolphins. DolphinsNRL.com.au. You're on Triple M.